Yeah. What's happening? David Ashley. Hey, listen, I love to talk too much. You know I was coming with a podcast. What do you mean? This was one of my favorite songs back in the day. I ain't lying to you. So thank you for tuning in, whether it's by accident or on purpose. I appreciate your listen. Welcome to the David Ashley Podcast, where we're going to talk about life, relationships, and entertainment, and hopefully I can bring a comedic spin to it, a humorous spin, put a humorous spin on it, you know, so that you enjoy your time while you're here with me. My goal is to make it like a half hour or so. You know, I figure that's the average drive time in LA. So if I can get you through one of those trips and make it enjoyable for you, I will have done my job. So today, what we're going to talk about is, you know, my day. We're going to talk about some entertainment. We're going to talk about, I'm going to try to motivate you. But mainly I'm going to tell you a story about the time I met Denzel Washington, my God. I'm an actor, filmmaker in Los Angeles, and that was big for me, and I blew it. Let's get it. So, as you know, like I just said, I drive Lyft and Uber and, you know, whatever else. And I come in contact with a lot of remarkable people. Today I picked up a guy in Beverly Hills, right? And the guy, as soon as he gets in the car, he has two women with him. And he says, "This is my wife and my ex-wife." And first I didn't believe him, but it was like he was bragging, you know? So anyway, they get in, you know, nice white folk. And so we're driving and, you know, we're talking about basketball. It was a great ride. We're talking about basketball. And then he says, "Yeah, you know, we're in town for my granddaughter's graduation." He said, "So, you know, but the reason I have my wife and my ex-wife," he said, "for a long time, my ex-wife and I didn't get along, you know, as couples do when they break up. But my wife now is a psychotherapist. So she helped break down to me. She saw what the problem was, and she helped break down to me what the issue was and how it was, you know, how it was affecting our child, well, our children." And he said, "You know, without that, I just wouldn't have had the foresight to go along with it or to even make an effort to get, you know, back in good graces with the mother of my children." And my man seemed to be, man, he had to be in his mid-70s. But, it was a great ride. He's from Sacramento. And, you know, we talked about, you know, the old teams and old Sacramento basketball teams and all of that. And Bobby Jackson, Mitch Richmond. And he went to college with David Stern. And shit. Like, it was crazy. He said David Stern used to look out for him with tickets every time he asked for him, you know, to playoff games and shit. But anyway, my point for bringing that up was, one, it was just a remarkable exchange. And two, what does that say for having the right woman in your life, you know? And that doesn't even mean that the first person was the wrong, you know, the wrong, quote unquote, wrong woman. There's this psychotherapist who, she's a marriage therapist as well, but she had a, so to the point about, you know, this, you could be with the right person and then still end up, you know, doing something wrong, or you could grow, or she could change, or whatever. I heard this lady say in a TED talk, she's a French psychotherapist. And I heard her on a podcast. But anyway, in her TED talk, she ended it like this. She said, "Most of us in this room will be married to at least two or three people, different people." Now, she said, "Most of us in this room will be married to at least two or three people. It's just that half of us will be married to different. Will, damn. Hold on, I'm gonna get this right. She says, most of us in this room will be married to two or three different people. She said, the problem is that most of us will be doing that with other people. So it was just a way of saying that this change is inevitable and you're going to be a different person. Your mate is going to be a different person. They're going to change 2, 3, 4 times during the relationship, and you have to learn how to fall in love with that person all over again, you know? And almost like 50 first dates and shit. I just thought that was remarkable, you know? Anyway, bow. I want to give a shout out to, not like they can hear it, the Toronto Raptors, Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors, for bringing, you know, he brought the first ever championship to the Six. You see how they was interviewing Drake like he was playing in the game and shit? Man, that was hilarious, man. Drake's such a fan, man. But listen, any one of us, you might call it annoying, but any one of us would be the same way, you know, if we had that opportunity to be an ambassador for the team that you grew up. Like growing up, I was a Bulls fan. Do you think I wouldn't have, you know what I'm saying, have loved to have been courtside? You know what I'm saying? Talking shit to players and all of that. You know what Hov say, man, I'm so close. He said, nigga, I'd be spiked out. I could trip a referee. You know what I mean? Like, which one of us wouldn't love to do that, you know? You know, and also shout out to Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, man. Those injuries they sustained were just, you know, just unfair. Unfair. You know, I tore my ACL twice. Hopefully Klay and KD can make a miraculous comeback as soon as possible. Man, that's just very unfortunate. Shout out to Steph, Klay, the whole team, Draymond. I made this meme. It said Draymond Weber, and I put Draymond's head on Chris Weber's face. It's hilarious. About the timeout. Gone. So, also, on the podcast, well, I'm going to have friends of mine send me questions, relationship questions. Or they're going to ask me, you know, relationship questions, you know, about my own relationships. And you know, I'm going to do my best to answer, you know, try to be as honest as possible, you know, some things, you know, you got to keep rated PG, you know. But so today's question comes from a friend of mine. And she said, if I found out some information about a friend's husband, and I found that information out from a very reliable source, should I tell this friend, you know, the wife, even though it may cause them to get a divorce? And listen, I thought about it. You see, back in the day, like when I was a little bit more green, I used to, when I was super green, I used to think, nah, man, if I see my boy's girl out cheating, I'm gonna tell him. I'm gonna tell him, like, for real. You know, and I didn't necessarily have that same energy for the one who wasn't my friend. And later on, I learned when, like, you know, a couple that I knew, you know, the dude was doing dirt and, you know, I ain't say nothing. But I didn't even, you know, this is how guys think sometimes. It's stupid, but I didn't even factor in that she could be getting down too. And when I thought about it that way, I was like, oh, I was just a very linear thing. So maybe it ain't a lot of guys, but me, I was just a very, like, you know, robotic, linear thinker like that. And I was like, nah, the woman ain't doing that. Men do that. But as we know, black men don't cheat. Shout out to Lil Duval. So No, but honestly, it was. But would I say something? So my answer to her is nah, man. Don't say anything, because for one, you don't know what she knows. Two, you know what I'm saying? She could already know something, and it could really, you know, it could trigger something. You know, it'll backfire on you. And I say, if it's not life or death, you know, just let that breathe, man, for real. Like, let that breathe for real, because, you know, you don't know what she knows. You don't know what agreements they have, and you don't know what she's doing, period. You don't want to get in the middle of that. You don't want that smoke. You don't want that kind of energy. Yeah, you don't want that energy. So just fall back, pimp. So the second question comes from another friend. And her question was, why are you single? Now, when I looked at it, I was like, well, you know, why you asking? You understand? What is something you got to tell me? Okay. Don't make me bust it out on you. No. So it's a simple question, but it's a difficult question. And it depends on how much I want to divulge on today. Tell you the truth, mentally. Well, let me say, it's two parts to this. You know, I'm a Scorpio, so really, I don't know what none of that shit mean. I just know that people be like, ooh, you a Scorpio. I can be petty Murphy at times, you know. I haven't been in a relationship in a little over 3 years, about 3.5 years. And truth is, I just don't get in a lot of relationships. You know, I got some problems I'm trying to iron out within myself, you know. But I'll tell you this, though. I am ready for that part of a relationship that, you know, the challenging part. Not to say I'm ready to argue, but I'm ready to, you know, I'm ready to try to learn some of these problem-solving skills that, you know, I try to give other people advice about, you know. But the truth is, it's easy from the outside looking in, you know. Like it's like losing weight. It's easy to tell somebody what to do to lose weight. Eat less calories than you burn, more calories than you consume, period. 80% of losing weight is diet, you know, unless you got something else going on. But is that shit easy to do? It is not, right? So I'm ready for the problem-solving portion of the relationship, but, you know, I got some other issues with it problems I need to kind of iron out, you know? Career is one of them, you know? I don't know, man. Career is one of those issues where I'm just not where I want to be yet. And listen, sometimes I can serve as an excuse. I feel better about that than I used to, you know? And once I can get immersed in the thing that I came here to do, if even only through effort, you know, without the success, I'll be good then, you know? You know? I'm saying. Cut me a little slack. There'll be more on this topic, but right now, that's all you're going to get, damn it. I'm feeling too vulnerable out here. So, this next segment. Who you loving? Who you want to be hugging? Yo, that's my favorite Mary J. Blige album, by the way. Share My World? Stop playing. A lot of people say My Life, and I'm not going to lie, I slept on My Life. But for me, it's Share My World, then What's the 411, then maybe, you know what I'm saying, like No More Drama. No, just playing. Three people just head exploded. It was like, nigga, No More Drama. But even though that wasn't a bad album, but yeah, I slept on, anyway. So what you watching on TV, man? You know, what are you binge watching? Right now, I'm, I ain't gonna lie, I just finished episode 3 of When They See Us. I said that last episode, last podcast. I still have yet to watch episode 4. Like I said, I'm trying to guard my heart. I am watching so many things. I'm watching a show called Succession on HBO. It's really good. Billions is my shit. Like, Billions is so good. It's like the perfect binge watching show. Because if you're into it, it gives you everything, you know, you want from that show. But with that show, I'm like my cousin Benzo. I like to, like, Benzo didn't watch the last 5 episodes of, the last 7 episodes of Game of Thrones, which I did a recap for every single episode except for one. Check that out, Mr. David Ashley on YouTube. Anyway, I digress. So he didn't watch none. He watched them all on one day. Now, I'm not that bad with Billions, but I let him, like, these last 4 episodes, and it was hard to do so, but I let them kind of pile up, and I'm going to just wait till, like, Sunday night. Oh, my God. Or maybe, like, Sunday morning. I think Sunday morning I might just watch all of them. You know what I mean? Eat bad and then just kind of, like, you know, do what I need to do to finish that. I'm watching this show. I just watched an episode. New show that I kept hearing about called Fleabag. It's a UK show. And, yo, it was hilarious. Hilarious, man. Hilarious. So, you know, let me know what you're watching, you know, in the comments or whatever. And, yeah, let me know what you're watching. So, as promised, it's story time. Listen, I am an actor. So as a black actor, moving out to Hollywood, you know, there are a few people who just do it. There's a few people in entertainment, period. You know, entertainment in the world of activism, whatever you know, we all got those people, right? I had a top 5 list of people that I've always wanted to meet. One was Michael Jackson. I never got a chance to do that. One was Michael Jordan. One was Martin Lawrence. One was Will Smith. And one was Denzel Washington. Denzel Hayes Washington Jr. So I'm not going to lie to you. I knew he was going to be at this party. Well, it was rumored that he was going to be at a party. And so, you know, I showed up, and sure enough, now the party was at, like, Judge Mathis's house or something like that. And keep in mind, this is years ago. So I'm at the party, and I see him up, like, on this deck on the back porch just looking out over the crowd. Nigga, when I tell you, I was like, yo, I'm fanning up now. So I see him, but the vibe that I got was that, you know, there were other celebrities at this party that wanted to meet him. So I was like, nah, I ain't going to stand in line to do that. I ain't going to do that to him. Even though he's gracious enough to be here, you know what I mean? He knows what's going down, but still, I didn't want to pile on in that way. So a couple hours go by and I'm on the phone with my mom because that previous year I had taken her to this same party. It was the AIDS Foundation party that Robbie Reed used to throw or still throws. I haven't been back so in a while. So anyway, a couple hours later, I'm on the phone with my mom, just describing to her the day and who's there and this and that. And because she's way in Indiana and she just wants to know. Next thing you know, I turned around, I'm speaking, and D is just standing there. I call him D because I know him personally now. Not really, but, you know, in my head, we friends. He's just standing there greeting people. Now I'm like, man. I'm like, Ma, he's right here. Let me just go over there and meet him right quick. Put my mom in my pocket. Bow. So I walk over there, and just then there were some parents. There was this couple that walked up who, I guess they had a kid, kids that went to school together. So they having this whole conversation. And I'm like, man, I didn't walk four entire feet over here. And so anyway, I'm like, nah, I didn't already committed. My momentum won't allow me to, you know, turn around. So I'm standing there so long that the couple is talking to us. I can notice them looking at me like, nigga, who are you? And, you know, in my head, I gave them a look like, don't you blow this for me. So finally, they walk away. And I'm talking about right after them, Ron Artest walks through. And listen, you talk about my momentum just wouldn't allow me to let Ron Artest and Denzel Cook. This in my head, this is how it was going to go, okay? I was going to, like, jab D in the arm, like a light. You know how you jab somebody and your fingertips only touch them? That's what I was going to do. And but mid-punch, mid-reach, I said to myself, David, you can't punch Denzel Washington. You don't know him. And furthermore, it's Denzel Washington. Furthermore, you just can't punch Denzel Washington. Like, for no reason. Like, for no reason. So next thing I know, my hand is still moving toward him, right? My hand is still moving toward him. So it opens up and I ended up like touching, like caressing his back fat, like right up under the wing. And I'm like, nigga, no. And he turns around, like, just imagine Denzel turning around. Like, who the hell has his grown ass entire hand on my back fat? God? Like, he turned around like, I'm going to say this, but this is how his face looked. Nigga, what? So, being the consummate professional and legend or whatever else he is, he noticed the nerd on my face and he smoothed it out immediately. He's like, how you doing, man? What's your name? I was like, oh, it's David. I'm like, cool. Okay. You enjoying yourself? Yeah, I am. He said, okay. All right. Okay. He hit me with the, all right. Okay. And I was like, yeah, you know, I just wanted to come over. You know, I'm a big fan. Just wanted to meet you. Oh, man, you know, I appreciate that, man. What you say your name was again? Oh, David. All right, Dave. Hey, enjoy yourself, man. But thanks a lot for coming over. Okay. I felt like Martin. I could go die now. Remember when Martin first met Gina? They had the story about how they met for the first time. And in Gina's version, he was like, could you mold me? That's how I walked away, you know. But it was like the conversation, like, I hit such a low as a person that, you know, and then he brought me right back up. Like, I walked away. I was like, nigga, I can leave this party. Who the hell else here I want to meet? Anyway, that was my story on the first time I met Denzel Washington. Yeah, and I don't even really think nobody else. I mean, I'm prepared for it now. I just wasn't prepared for it. This was like 7-8 years ago. But anyway, man, that was that. Don't judge me, niggas. You know what? Forget it. I'm feeling good. I'm gonna give y'all another story since it's the first episode, the inaugural episode, sorta. I don't know if I'm gonna let y'all hear the first episode. We still in test pilot mode. I'm gonna give you another story. So driving one of the ride share companies. Couple years ago. And so a lot of times when I'm driving, I can't see. So anyway, it went like this. I picked up a young lady here in LA and she opened the door. And I can only see the first, like, the bottom part of her face. And she was smiling and she was like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, all right, good. So she sat in the car and, you know, the way things were positioned, you know, I just couldn't see, you know, her face. So Now, so this day I was particularly just, you know, I wasn't talkative because usually I engage, you know what I mean? A lot of times people don't want to talk, and that's fine. But I, at least, you know, I throw a gauge out there and I say, hey, I say, how you doing? How's your day? And if they, you know, if they're open, then I can engage. If they're not, if they're giving one word answers, hey, shut up. Because I've been in Ubers where, you know, I didn't want to talk. So, but this particular day, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't engaging. And so partway through it, I hear her singing. And I'm just like, oh, that's cute. I'm like, oh, that's cute. Young lady singing, you know. She thinks she can sing out. Everybody wants to sing in LA. But it's like not out loud, but it's like low enough that I can hear it. And KJLH, which is the, you know, it's the black contemporary like R&B hip hop station here. It's Stevie Wonder owns it. And they were just on one this day. And they were really going in. So, you know. So anyway, once I heard her singing, for some reason, I was like, I made it about me. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm being antisocial. So I'm like, so where are you from? And she says, oh, I'm from, she said, oh, I live in New Orleans. And I'm like, it's such a pet peeve of mine when I ask you where you're from, you tell me where you live. I don't know why people, and maybe where you're from is intrusive. I don't know. But I would think where I live is more intrusive. Anyway, whatever. So I was mildly annoyed, not enough to like, you know, I was like, oh, okay, that's what's up. I said, my grandfather's from Dubuque. She was just like, yeah, my mom's from Louisiana. And I don't know why this triggered me. Cause keep in mind, I still haven't seen this young lady's face. So by this time we're 10 minutes into the ride. And so for some reason, I start thinking, is this Solange in my backseat? But I don't want to look in the rearview mirror and creep her out. Like, you know what I mean? Because I'm sure, you know, whatever. She has a solid fan base. So I'm sure, you know, while it's not everybody that's looking at her like that, I'm sure some people do like, yo, that's Solange. So now I'm freaking out because it's another like 5-10 minutes left in the ride, and I'm just like, huh. So it just so happens when we pulled up to the spot, I didn't, because sometimes I can't see the addresses on the house of business. So I asked them, I was like, yo, is this where you're going? Like, she was like, you know, actually I don't know. And I'm like, shit, I'll help you, you know, look for it. So by the time we pulled up to the place, I had settled on the fact that Solange Knowles is in my backseat and has been for the last 20 minutes. And once we stopped, she was like, okay, yeah, this is it. Thank you. And I turned around and I said, yo, I said, I'm so sorry. I did not see your face. I didn't know who you were. Like, I was apologizing for not recognizing her Solange-ness of it all. And she seemed, this is how cool Solange is. She was like appalled that I apologized for not knowing who she was. You know what I mean? She was like, oh no. She's like, stop. I was like, yo, by the way, I said, losing you is my shit. Like, just like that. And she laughed and she was, she's like, oh, thank you. You know what I'm saying? She walked on in the place and, you know, I drove off fast because I didn't even want to see where she was going into. Like, you know what I'm saying? I ain't even want that in my memory bank. Like, you know what I mean? But anyway, that was my bonus story of the time I drove Solange Knowles around Los Angeles. Beautiful. Cool as ever. You know, just like you think she would be. That's what she is, even though we didn't have a whole lot of interaction. But anyway, bow. Listen, this part is called motivation. Over the last 2-3 years, I told you I engage what, you know, as a rideshare driver, and the conversations that I get into 30% of the time, literally, is about what you want to do. A lot of times I can ask a person, they'll be like, oh, you know what I'm saying? What do you do? And they'll be like, oh, you know, I do this. I'll be like, you like it? And as soon as they hesitate, I know I got them. I got them. Because now the next step is like, what are you doing to make this thing so? Right? And I'm looking for any excuse you have to not do it. And listen, at times it has gotten not quite contentious, but almost to a point where it was just like, all right, fam, you're being pushy. Like nobody has said that to me, but I could sense, you know, it's like in the song, he was like, I can sense deceit in his tone. He said, the world don't stop. I got to keep on. For then I sensed the beef was on. I'm sorry, Jay-Z, Too Short. It was all good just a week ago. Volume 2. That's where I came in at. But on the other side of those conversations is some of the most beautiful revelations, you know? And even if somebody doesn't admit it, I can see like a look in people's eyes, like when they get out, like that's either motivated or frustrated, which listen, they're both great places to be. You know, you got to start with aggravation. You know, that's the only way you're going to get to where you're trying to go is if you aggravate it, you know, aggravated to a point of action. And it really has become almost like a passion of mine, you know, because as I'm on this journey to do what I love to do, more often it's hard. You know, some days you're up, some days you're down, you know, some days you just don't feel like dealing with the rejection, you know. But the beautiful thing about doing what you love to do is it frees you up to do other things. Reason I say that is because it was 2006. I had moved back from Nashville. I was, you know, living with my mom until I moved to L.A. I was, quote unquote, saving up money to move to L.A. And I remember I was driving an ice cream truck at the time, but I refused to drive it in Hammond because I knew I was going to get roasted if I had driven it around Hammond. So I was like, nah. So I went to Illinois to do it. I don't think a lot of people know that. So that's just one of the 31 jobs that I've ever held. We'll talk about that later. And one day I was at home, at my mom's house, and I heard a report that T.I. and Common were going to join Denzel Washington in American Gangster. I had a full-on tantrum, fams. I was like, yo, that shit ain't fair. I was like, these niggas ain't even actors, really. They not even actors. And they get to share the screen with, you know, arguably the greatest to ever do it. Come on, man. How is that fair? And then I heard a voice say to me, just like, nigga, you ain't even left Hammond yet. Nigga, how are you angry because two dudes follow their dreams and stop bullshit, excuse my language, and follow their dreams to the point where their dreams led them to other things that they didn't know they wanted to do and other opportunities? How are you mad at that? You ain't mad at them, bro. You mad at yourself, you know? 6 months later, you know, I had my ass in L.A. Not that that was the catalyst, but that was a moment that I always look back to, like wondering, like, damn, bro, what were you on? And we get kind of self-righteous at times. We get entitled, you know, to thinking that the world owes us something. Like, even when something, you know, the world's taking a lot from me, God, call it what you want. You know, we'll get into that later. And sometimes I'm like, man, this is some, you know, I'm going to cuss again, but I'm like, this is some bullshit. But I heard Will Smith say, he said, it's not your fault. What happened to you is not your fault. But it is your responsibility to climb up out of that. And as unfair as that sounds, it is as truthful a statement as you will ever hear. And it's just up to, you know, life is what they say. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. So I just implore you to, you know, wipe the coal out your eyes, you know, and get it popping by any means necessary. It's kind of vague, but, you know, I believe in you. You believe in you. Or at least you need to before you can start it. But just try it. Fail, learn from it, and do it all over again. Bow. So there you go. The first 1A episode of the David Ashley podcast. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I hope I was able to entertain you. I hope it wasn't boring, you know. You know, we're going to still fix some things and we're going to play with a few different formats and we're going to see how this plays out. But until next time, I'm going to try to get this to you 2 days a week, if not at least one. But if you like it, feel free to share it with somebody, you know, who listens to podcasts, even if they don't, you know, they might find something in here, that helps them. But until then, you know, I got to find a catchphrase to say, but I do like to end every episode with a lyric. And this week, it's a lyric within PMD that kind of helps something I've been struggling with. He says, but every now and then, a sucker MC gets courageous. And like an epidemic, it becomes contagious. David Ashley, I'm out of here.